Welcome to the Ask John Call-In Day. This is an open question and answer session where you can call in and speak to me directly or simply listen live on the audio player on the webpage. If you've called in and have questions, press 1 to raise your hand. If you're listening on the audio player on the webpage, you'll see a box where you can type in questions. Feel free to enter your questions there as well. These sessions are all about you, and this is your opportunity to call in and speak to me live, and let me work with you to help you solve your weight loss problems forever. So if you've got something you want to talk about, please give us a call.
Cool. Welcome, everyone. So earlier this week, we were talking about stress and the importance of either reducing stress hormones, reducing the stress load that you have, the chronic stress, as well as working through any emotional issues that you have currently or past emotional traumas. And I hope if you attended the class or listened to the class, I hope you got a sense that it's not simply about, I got to lower my stress. Like it's not, you know, it's that it's just like kind of a thing that everyone talks about, but that actually when you are in a chronic stress state or you have past emotional trauma, you are dumping hormones into your body, stress hormones into your body throughout the day, that act very similar to if you're eating sugar all day. If you're eating sugar all day, your insulin levels will get elevated, your body will go into fat storage mode. If you're in a state of chronic stress all day or you have past emotional trauma making you feel unsafe, you are elevating your insulin levels through the stress hormones that are causing insulin resistance, and that is causing your body to go into fat storage mode and causing you to lose the ability to burn fat. So it's a huge, huge issue, much bigger than most people realize when it comes to weight. If you've tried to lose weight by dieting many times and failed, there's a really good chance that stress or past emotional trauma is the issue. So if you want to talk about that, let's talk about it. You can chime in the chat roll, and we'll answer your questions in the chat roll as best we can. You can call in, and if you call in, press 1. Amir will take your call, and he'll send me a message, and you and I can talk. Cool. So let's bring Nadia in if we can and answer some of the questions that are coming in the chat roll as well as some previous questions.
Hi, John.
Hi, Nadia. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks. What's happening?
Good. So the last class we had where we talked about stress, I think that touched a chord with a lot of people. And one of the questions from that class was Jody is wondering if you could talk about the lack of boundaries and how that makes one fat and also keeps one fat.
Yeah. It's such a great question, and it's one of the biggest issues that affects people. And, you know, typically if you've been exposed to abuse in your childhood, either chronically or through just even a few occasions, it does cause you to tend to have a lack of boundaries. The actual act of being dominated, it makes you afraid of confrontation. You become a people pleaser. Because you have this association, maybe it's not the reality right now, you have this association from your childhood that when you didn't do what the person said, you were going to get hurt. The parents was going to yell at you. The sibling was going to beat you up. The bully was going to beat you up. The abuser was going to abuse. So you become sort of this people pleaser because you've got this unconscious innate feeling that comes from this past trauma that if you don't please people, you're gonna get hurt. So what happens is that we carry this with us, and so we want to please people. We don't want to say no. So we have these. We don't have strong boundaries. And what happens though is we end up feeling even more and more unsafe because inevitably, when you don't have strong boundaries, there's always going to be somebody that's going to take advantage of that. So we end up having people in our lives that end up taking advantage of us and taking advantage of the fact that we don't have strong boundaries. And we live in this place where we're just people pleasing and doing what everyone else wants. And our body tends to use weight as a boundary between you and the other person, especially if the boundaries, if you've suffered from any type of sexual abuse in your past, your body's going to use the weight as a boundary. It's going to try to push people away, try to make you less noticed, less of a target. And so as a result, you end up feeling safer because of the weight. And the body uses the weight as to push people away and to define your boundaries. And that's why it's so crucial that you address this issue, because if you don't address this issue, your body's actually thinking that it you need the weight in order to keep you safe and to protect you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does make sense. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Huge issue.
Yeah, it is for a lot of people. There's another question coming in from Jane. She's listening right now, and she typed in the chat role. She wants to know if pancreatic enzymes are the same as digestive enzymes, and if they're not, can you supplement them?
Yeah, so most enzymes, including digestive enzymes, come from the pancreas, but when you say pancreatic enzymes, it's a whole host of enzymes, including the enzymes that are digestive enzymes, and many people do take different types of enzymes in addition to digestive enzymes because it does help the immune system. I don't do it personally, but I do know people that do it and swear by it. Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Okay.
There's
I just want to say we have a couple of callers that I'm gonna bring in, but let's take one more question and then I'll bring the callers in.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Can a past trauma or some other hidden trigger prevent fat loss, even if you're doing all of the other action steps?
Yeah, it'll override everything. There's no question about it. If that's what's at play, it will override everything else. But the beauty is that when you address that, everything else works. So if in any way, shape, or form your body feels that emotionally you need the weight in order to feel safer, that has to be addressed. That's the most important thing. And it's more important to do that than any other action steps until you get that addressed. The other action steps will help give you more energy, more confidence, more security. You'll be better. Your body will function better on a hormonal level, and you'll reduce many of the other things that cause weight gain. But this one is, if this is a factor for you, then this is the overriding consideration. And you'll know in a couple of ways if it is the factor, as we talked about in the last class. One is if you gain the weight very suddenly, all of a sudden after a trauma, it's definitely at play. And then the other is that if you start to lose weight and people start commenting, oh, you look great, and then you feel uncomfortable, you feel scared when you're noticed, and then you kind of have a binge and you put the weight back on, you feel a little bit safer. Then that's also an indication that you have these issues. And listening to the Safe, Strong, and Protected visualization and doing some of the techniques that we talked about in the last class for creating a surrogate for your body other than the weight to feel safe, energetic protection, is an awesome, awesome thing, way to help work through those stresses. Also things like EFT or meridian tapping is really good, and cellular release work is really good. Other energetic therapies like EMDR or regression therapy or hypnosis, these are all therapies that can help work through emotional issues. But either way, if you have those issues, yes, these are the most important considerations. Your body's not going to let you lose weight if it doesn't feel safe. It's just so simple. Weight, the whole reason for weight is safety. If your body thinks that you need weight in order to be safe, if you were living outdoors thousands of years ago, and there wasn't enough to eat, and it was cold all the time, your body would want the weight for safety. So your body would not want to let you lose weight for safety reasons. And in today's world, if whatever the stresses are causing your body to think that you need weight for safety, yeah, then your body's not going to let you lose weight. And the whole point of the Gabriel Method is to do all the different things that you need to do. And everybody's slightly different. Some things apply to everybody and some things just apply to some people. But you do the things that address the stresses and hormonal triggers that are causing your body to think you need the weight. So your body doesn't need the weight anymore. It doesn't think it needs the weight anymore. And as soon as your body doesn't think it needs the weight anymore, you lose the weight. And it's the easiest thing in the world to do once you address the issues. There's nothing easier and more natural than losing weight when your body wants to let go of the weight. So you do the work to get your body to want to lose weight. And that type of work is not a diet necessarily. A diet in and of itself doesn't get your body to want to lose weight. It forces your body to lose weight, which is great too. It's great to lose weight. However, but it doesn't address the real issues. So you end up sort of kind of going to war with your body, and it becomes very difficult to maintain. But if you do the work, maybe you don't lose weight right away because you're not, counting calories and restricting and all that stuff. Maybe you don't lose the weight right away. So that's why I say don't weigh yourself over the next 5 weeks. Focus on these issues. But when you address the issues, the weight comes off and you're not even noticing it and stays off. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when it happens that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Thanks, John.
Cool. Sure. Okay, I'm going to take some callers, and if we have some time, we'll bring you back in a little while. Thanks.
Sounds perfect.
Cool. Let's bring in Amanda from Illinois, please.
Hello?
Hi, Amanda. Are you there?
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. So I have a question related to alcohol, but I kind of wanted to give you a quick background about what's been going on with me for the past 2 months or 2 years, I guess. So
yeah.
I got out of an emotionally and financially abusive marriage, and I filed in 2015 for divorce. It was finalized about, 6 to 8 months later. And during that time, I met my current husband, who I knew from law school, who actually handled my husband's divorce, which is a whole other story. So we ended up getting married shortly thereafter, and it was a great thing. But it was like divorced, married, and then we moved into a new city. I had 2 kids. I changed jobs. Like as we were moving into the new house in the new city, I was interviewing at my new job to make sure I would get it. So a lot of change happened over the course of, and we're getting ready to move again, actually, to a new house when we close in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So it's been a lot of change, and that's really when I started noticing all the weight gain. I mean, from the age 18 to, 35, I was really fit. I mean, I was working out consistently and doing yoga. I was meditating every day, writing every day. So I really had a good kind of, coping mechanism going. But then just, life kind of intervened and I'm not really writing anymore. And I've just recently started meditating again through your visualization. So through all this, my coping mechanism has been alcohol. It got more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
More and more prevalent, especially while I was dating. And then from then it just kind of became a thing for me. And I was attributing that to the weight gain, but the funny thing is after listening to your the class, the course for this week, I was just laughing because everything you mentioned and the big life changes happened to me in the course of 8 years.
Let me ask you a couple questions first before we go any further. So when did this happen that you got divorced? Was that 2 years ago? I'm a little confused, right? You're saying 2 years ago you got divorced and remarried?
It's about four years now, I guess. I'm sorry. I filed in in May of 2015, and the divorce is final in September of 2015.
And when did you get married again?
So I got married again on divorce is final in September 2016. I got married again in February 2017.
Okay, and when did you have kids?
I had kids with my first husband, and we had them in 2011 and 2012, back to back.
Okay, and when did you start gaining weight?
I started gaining weight basically after about 6 months into my 1 year dating thing, which I actually started dating pretty much as soon as I separated from my husband. And then about 6 months into it, I started noticing some weight gain. And then it just kept piling on and piling on, and it started piling on really quickly after that. I gained probably 40 pounds, 40 to 50 pounds in the span of a year, maybe.
And is your weight stable now?
Yeah, I mean, it's stable. It is stable. It's not going up anymore, but I've really taken a hard look at everything as far as my health.
Let's talk about the dating side of things. When you started dating, what were your feelings around dating, going out, being with people, meeting people, having people notice you? What were your feelings around that?
I mean, I really like being noticed, and I had a lot of success. I dated 24 men in about 12 months. And because I never had my 20s, my ex-husband and I got together when I was junior in college, and that he was my one and only. So I was ready to figure out what I liked and what I wanted. And I was, completely open to all different situations. And for the most part, I had a lot of fun. I really did. It was actually a very positive experience for me.
Okay. And but you said around 6 months into it, you started gaining weight.
Right. And I think I met someone who I wanted a relationship with, and we kind of went back and forth and back and forth with, like, do we, don't we? And that.
Was there some fear around getting into a relationship again? You know, because here you are, living your 20s all over again and having a great time, and you had such a bad, you know, a relatively bad situation when you were married, and you're about to get into another relationship. Were there some feelings around that?
Yeah, there were. I mean, I was nervous, but I was at the point where this guy was offering me so much that I needed at that time. And it was like he was feeding something in me that I really thought was great. But he had a lot of issues around the fact that I was very successful. And that he was like a roofer.
Yeah.
I mean, not that roofers aren't successful, but like I have a, you know, college degree, I have a law degree, and, you know, and, you know, I make good money. So, and, you know, and he kept bringing that as an issue. And I was like, can we just not look at that? Can we just see what's here? And like that. But I mean, so, and then it's funny thing is, and I met my current husband around the same time. Re-met him. We actually went to law school together, but he came back into my life right around that time too. And I realized that he was a much more stable, a much more desirable like partner for long-term. Cause he was, you know, just very, very supportive, and he's amazing. He's amazing. The best thing that ever happened to me, really.
And did the weight gain stop once you started seeing him, or did it keep going?
Oh no, it kept going. It kept going because, I mean, I think that, and we joke because we both were in really good shape when we met, and now, like, we turn around a year later, we're like, oh, my God, we got fat. Like, and I think part of that is, you know, the fat and happy thing, but, I mean, I don't think I ever really dealt, I mean, I don't know. I mean, much happened, and they were all in your life.
Say that again, so much happened, and then we'll finish what you're going to say?
Well, yeah, so much happened, and all those things that happened were mentioned in your talk, and I'm like, well, maybe that was it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I do think definitely there's
the
amount of alcohol you're drinking. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, you know, but alcohol to me is always a symptom, you know? It's never the thing. Like, if you've had a lot of emotional issues, okay, you're going to want to drink alcohol. If you've got a lot of stress in your life, you're going to want to drink alcohol. If you've got addictive tendencies, you know, there's always something behind the alcohol. I never focus on the alcohol directly. Don't drink alcohol. Alcohol is bad, whatever. Because what I find is that when people start meditating, when they're listening to visualizations, when they learn how to reduce stress in a more productive way, what I find is that the alcohol goes away on its own. It doesn't feel right to me that it's the alcohol that caused you to gain weight. What feels right to me, although not so much from the conversation we're having, because there's nothing that where you and I are coming to this place, oh, yeah, I see that. But just intuitively, I'm trying to get to that place, to be honest, because intuitively what I feel is that there were issues around your relationship with your husband that made you really scared to get back into a relationship. People were great. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, definitely. I mean, he was very, I mean, you know, when you're 21, you're kind of a stupid person, just everybody is, and they make mistakes, and I was really insecure.
Yeah.
I struggled with weight, you know, until I was 18, and then I got with him, and he was kind of this big, safe, 6'5", 250 pounds, like, football player, you know, that was very stable. When I was even though I was fit, I was still battling with, like, the poor self-image, you know, like, I always thought I was fat. And the key, you know, it's, so, I mean, I think I kept fit in that sense, because like I thought that if I didn't stay in shape, he would leave. And then it became more like mind games where, I mean, we both went to Princeton University. I mean, we're both pretty smart cookies, but like I was always made to feel like I was not as smart as he was in a lot of different arenas.
So what I'm saying though is whatever the specifics are, I feel like there are some unresolved issues about relationships. It sounds like you're in a great relationship right now, and that's fabulous. So it's not manifesting in your relationship right now, but I think it was the trigger that caused you to gain weight. I think that whatever the issues and insecurities or feelings or pain in your first relationship, the fact that it came on as not when you were dating, but as soon as you started to kind of get back into the relationship arena, that to me is the sign that, that there are just some unresolved issues. And I think they'd be easy for you to work on because I don't think they're playing themselves out right now. Like you're saying that you're in a really good situation right now. It's not feeling uncomfortable. You don't feel judged or you don't feel like you have to be something that you're not, am I right about that?
Everything's not good at all.
You're saying.
Yeah, in fact, I've been so insecure about how much weight I've gained because I've never been this heavy in my entire life. And it was crushing for me when I got on that scale and saw 200 pounds. And my husband's like, you're great. Like, he tries to encourage me to wear, like, form-fitting clothes because he's like, your curves are amazing. They're great. But for me, I still have that really big insecurity. Like, if you're fat, you're unlovable.
Okay. All right. Well, that is definitely something that I would work on. And I think that's what's playing out right now is your feelings around being lovable. There's some affirmations that I talk about doing that I think are very effective. You can do them while you're meditating. You can do them while you're listening to the visualizations. You can do them just lying down on the bed, holding a pillow. And the way to do them is you imagine every cell of your body saying this at the same time, saying, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. So you just imagine your cells saying that, 70 trillion cells just saying it like a chorus over and over again. I love you. I accept you. I appreciate you. I forgive you. And then any other type of work that you can do, either tapping or cellular release, focused around being lovable, feeling lovable, and whatever else comes up from your previous relationship, I think is going to be all you need to turn this around.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any specific visualizations you would recommend that kind of help curb cravings? I mean, it's funny that you say that the visualizations and the meditation will start to kind of curb that on its own because I have felt that a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if that question is pertinent anymore.
Yeah, I just think the cravings, again, are like alcohol. It's like the tail wagging the dog. You know, the cravings are going to go away when your body feels comfortable. Let it go away. And I think your body will feel comfortable when you work through some of the issues that came up in your last relationship and the issues around feeling lovable.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's very helpful.
Sure. My pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Thanks. You too. Bye.
Okay. Cool. Let's talk to Sandra in Chicago, please. Sandra, you there?
Hello?
Hi,
hey,
Sandra.
Hey, Don. It's me. Hey, thanks so much for taking my question.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I got a lot out of... Yeah, I got a lot out of what you shared with Jane, or the last caller, I forgot her name. So I'm wondering if a lot of it applies, but I'm just going to go ahead with my question. Amanda, thank you.
Yeah.
So my question is, I'm feeling great both physically and emotionally. So the backstory is that I lost weight fairly quickly back in this October and November. I was traveling and I wasn't eating a lot or using food for comfort. So I was basically stopping when I was satiated. In eating less food, I noticed that I was kind of out of it at times. Like I'd be spacey and grumpy and short with people. So I felt like I had low blood sugar a lot of the time. I wasn't happy all the time. So I was at my ideal body weight. So I felt great physically, but not emotionally. My hormones felt like they were a bit out of whack. So, like, maybe my leptin was low, my cortisol was high, because I wasn't sleeping well either, and I was tired. And I started to binge, and I gained back the weight. And I'm just wondering what happened there and how I can prevent that from happening as I near my goal weight again.
So, you said you were traveling.
Yes.
Is that right? What type of traveling were you doing?
Yes. I went to Long Beach for... a little less than a week. It was for a work conference. I actually met someone when I was there. It was fantastic. Had a lot of fun. And then the second travel was in Indiana, and that was it was a Rock City boxing training for Parkinson's disease, another, like, work program training.
Yeah. So this was over, like, a 1 or 2 month period, you're saying?
Yeah, like I'd say a 1 month period. It was like the end of October, beginning of November.
And while you were traveling, you were losing weight, right?
Yes.
And then when you came back, you put the weight back on, is that right?
No, I was able to keep it off, and I kind of tried some crazy things. Like I did like I got sick, and I was like, oh, I wonder if it's because I lost all that weight.
Yeah.
My immunity got low. And so then I read that if you did a 3-day water fast, you could build up your white blood cells. So I did that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an effort, you know, to keep the weight off and, like, whatever I could do, too. But eventually it just, I wasn't able to hold it off, yeah.
And are you well now?
Oh, yeah. I was only sick. It was, like, everybody was getting this cold flu thing, and I still was working and everything. Yeah, I'm totally fine now.
And is that when you had this flu cold thing, was that while you were traveling or when you got back?
That was when I got back. That was around Christmas time.
And how old are you?
I am 35.
Okay. And do you do a lot of exercise?
I do, yeah. I'm a physical therapist, and I have a unique job position where I get to teach a lot of classes, and I also like to do yoga for my own personal.
I'm a little bit, for some of the symptoms that you talked about, a little bit concerned about adrenal fatigue. And you're kind of like right in that category of usually it affects women from, you know, 35 to 48, that range when they work real hard and they exercise too much and they diet at the same time, work too hard, exercise too much, diet too much, you get adrenal fatigue. I think one of the reasons why you lost weight when you were traveling is because you exercise, maybe I'm wrong about this, but you exercise less. And we're going to talk about exercise next week. And that, I think you're overtrained. And the overtraining will elevate your cortisol levels. It'll lower your immunity. It will affect your adrenals also. And then get you to a place where you can't really lose weight anymore. And you're hungry all the time and you're crabby and you're grumpy. So I would be a little bit concerned about that. And that's something, you know, we are going to talk a lot more about next week. But that's what's coming to me for you, is that there's an overtraining component here. I would have rest days. I would have 2 to 3 days where you do zero exercise. And if you want to exercise more on the other days, you can. But the key is to have complete rest days. People get adrenal fatigue.
Okay.
It's not so much the hours that they put in at exercise, it's that they never, ever have days off. You need those days off. You need three days where you're doing nothing. I think if you had 3 days where you're doing nothing a week, and then you exercise the rest of the time, I think you'll find that you're a lot stronger, a lot healthier. Your body, hormonally, you function better, and your body lets go of weight much easier.
Awesome, I love it.
And I also feel like there's something about traveling for you that nourishes you in a way that being in one place doesn't. You know, getting away from it all, being on an airplane. Nobody's bothering you, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? You get the whole day where right? Like, it's almost like an excuse. The whole day, you don't have to really do much work or do much exercise because you have to be on the plane, you have to travel, and then, you know, and then there's something new and exciting and you meet people.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to incorporate that somehow into your life where you're either traveling more or having that feeling of excitement and adventure more in your life. I think that will feed you more than anything. If you have more of a feeling of excitement and adventure and newness in your life, that is going to feed you on a soul level, and your body's just going to let go of it. I think you get stuck. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think you get stuck when you're at home. You know, it's too much of the same thing, the grind, the drudgery. And it's not good for you. You know, you need to, you came here to this planet to have some fun and to give yourself that, you know, you got this father voice inside your head or whatever, you know, that's right. Am I right? You got this father voice. You're not here to have fun, you know, but you actually are here to have fun. And you got to overcome that father's voice that's telling you that you're not here to have fun. That's exactly what you got to do. You got to tell that father voice, hey, actually, I am here to have fun. And you know, maybe you're not here to have fun, and that's cool. That's your reality, but I actually am here to have fun. So I would shift that a little and give yourself rest days and figure out a way to remind yourself that you are here to have fun and figure out a way to have that fun. You know, you could join groups where, like, on the weekend they go on adventures. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
On the weekend you go on kayaking or whitewater rafting. You meet people. You know, like, you could join clubs and groups like that. Just something. You can even hear in your energy how your energy is lifting as we're talking about this.
Yeah.
This is what you need. This is where, you know, your weight is not going to be an issue if you're out having fun and meeting people.
Okay. I love it.
That makes
Thank
sense?
You.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Cool. All right. We're getting a lot of callers now, so we're going to have to try to go a little bit quicker. My pleasure. Let's talk to Carla in Toronto.
Hi, John. This is Carla.
Hi, Carla. How are you?
Good. Thank you. How are you? So, John, we spoke. I've been following you and doing several of your programs for a long time. We spoke, like, in 2016. I was at the membership program, and then I did a detox also at the end of 2016, November. But unfortunately, I couldn't really reap all the benefits because I got sick. And I got cancer. Now I'm cured. I mean, I went through the whole process, and I'm cured. I'm fine. I'm very well.
Good. That's good.
I'm very healthy.
Good.
And it's been like a really a journey to be healthy. I work with a special nutritionist to get rid of any candida that could have actually been the cause for the cancer. And so I'm in a very healthy state right now. But I've been. My question is really because I've been doing the visualizations both the night, the evenings. I'm meditating since I'm 16. I'm 52 right now, so I have a long story meditating.
Great.
And I don't know. Of course, it's very difficult that you will remember specific my case, but I used to do a lot of exercise, and I don't exercise, of course, as much. And I know that is a problem because my muscles are used to that. I'm trying to get back into exercise, but it's really, my question is really more regarding, when I know it's very difficult to say the time when this is going to start happening. I do a lot of tapping, by the way. And so I'm trying to, like, address everything. I eat the 3 G's, the big 3's, I'm sorry, for I've been eating like that for a long time as well. So when is this really going to start happening? Because I've been trying and trying and trying, and I totally believe that this is the right way to do it. I don't believe in diet. I said dieting. It has never worked for me. And but I keep, I mean, I feel that I'm very slowly starting to lose the weight right now. But I just wondering if there is something that I should notice. Like, I have never gone into a place where I'm not hungry anymore, and then I'm stuck. Losing, you know, all this weight, which I would love to be. So I'm wondering if that's necessarily the way it's going to happen, or it just, and might be the case for me that it will just be very slowly, or if there's something that I'm missing, or, you know.
And how old are you,
mm-hmm.
Carla? How old are you?
I'm 52.
How old are you?
52.
Right.
I'm 52
and
right
how
now.
And how much weight are you looking
52.
To lose?
I need to lose 47 kilograms.
Okay, and how long have you had
right
that
now.
Weight on you?
37, I'm sorry.
And how long have you had that weight on you?
This I started gaining little by little since I became like 35 with my third pregnancy. It has been a little by little process, and of course when I diet I lose weight and I gain more, you know, the story. And then, but then I kept like with 30 extra kilos more, like for maybe 5 years. And of course, then with the cancer and the chemo, I gained like 17 kilograms. I have lost already 10 of them in like a 10-month period.
I mean, my sense is that it is where, can I stop you, Carla? My sense is that it is working for you. Like you said, you just lost 10 kilos, and you just had to deal with this really serious issue, health issue, and now you're coming out of it, and now you are losing the weight. So actually, I don't have too much to add to where you are right now, except to keep doing what you're doing, because you know you were able to overcome a health issue, which is phenomenal, and now you're losing the weight. So So I would keep on this track with where you're at right now. You don't have to all of a sudden, you don't have to all of a sudden stop being hungry and then that's it. But you will notice that you're full sooner. You may have noticed that, or you'll notice that you forgot to eat your afternoon snack, or, you're just not thinking about food as much. You might notice that doesn't have to be this kind of huge thing where all of a sudden your eating completely changes. But if you just lost 10 kilos, mm-hmm. if you just overcame cancer and you just lost 10 kilos, then my sense is you keep doing what you're doing for a couple of months, and I think you're going to be in a really good place.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you,
John. Yeah. My pleasure.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's talk. Bye. Let's talk to Tony in Indiana, please.
Hi, John. This is Tony.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good.
You're doing great. I've been listening to you.
What's happening?
I actually was going to ask you about stress last week, and I knew that this was coming up this week, so I waited.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a lot of trauma in my life, and so I'm not even sure where the weight issues began or end or whatever. A lot of stress right now around raising children. I have 3 teenage daughters, well, I guess 2 teenagers and a 20-year-old. We're a blended family, so that causes a lot of stress because we have different ideas about how to parent. Both of the parents, like the outside parents, like so my stepdaughter's mom is like crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy. My ex-husband, my kid's dad, he's kind of crazy too. And so that causes stress and trauma in our children, which causes all kinds of stress and trauma. This week has been just horrible. So I thought it was just so ironic that we're talking about stress and emotions this week.
Yeah.
It has been just crazy.
Well, let me ask some questions first, just to get a background. How old are you?
45.
And how much weight are you looking to lose?
Like 180 pounds.
And you mentioned that you had a lot of stress and trauma. Did the weight start to come on after you were experiencing, or after or during you were experiencing trauma, whenever that first started?
Slowly over time. Started in the second grade. Yeah. I was bullied pretty bad. I went through Catholic school, so I stayed with those kids all the way through till senior year, and that's kind of when it started. My dad died when I was 13, so that just kind of compounded it. The only way I'd ever lost weight, like any significant amount of weight, was diet pills when I was in my early 20s. And then when I got pregnant with my first daughter 18 years ago, I gained 80 pounds when I was pregnant. So at that time I was like 180, and then I gained 80 pounds, and then now it's just steadily increased. And I don't know about steadily increased. I would say I stayed around 280 for a good number of years. Last year I tried to do a juice diet and then went off that and gained 30 pounds, and now I can't seem to get that to budge at all. So that's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors that are at play here. I think that the trauma that you had around bullying and your father dying and all of these things, they're definitely primal triggers that need to be worked on and resolved. And I think when you do are able to really work on those and resolve them, you'll find less stress in your life now, because we tend to create in our lives what we need to create or what we're used to based on the situations that have happened to us in the past. And when you work through some of the things that have happened in the past, the situations kind of tend to resolve themselves in the present. But then where you are now, it's not just the past traumas. I do think that, the current stress is causing problems. Have you been checked for sleep apnea? you know, if you have sleep apnea.
Yeah, and I do wear a sleep CPAP machine.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I was also going to tell you, I did some emotional release therapy with one of your emotional release people. I can't remember her name at the moment, but I worked through some of that, and when I was working with her, we got all the way up through, like, when I got with my husband here 10 years ago. So...
Say that again. What happened 10 years ago?
To the point, about 10 years ago, I moved to, I divorced my first husband, and I moved from Nebraska, where I'm from, to Indiana.
Yeah.
And so when I did that emotional release therapy, I got all the way up through till this point, or, you know, to the point of 10 years ago when the relationship started. And then my husband didn't want to spend any more money on it, and so I didn't get to finish that therapy.
I understand. Yeah. Well, in that case, you can kind of do your own therapy using the principles that we talked about in the class this week, finding that protection, whether it's a column of light or guardian angel, listening to the safe, strong, and protected visualization. And you can actually go back and do something I call recreating your past. So this is a technique that I think is really powerful, because the body, you have to understand the way the body works. Yes, the body wants to keep you safe. And yes, the mental and emotional stresses it doesn't understand, but sometimes interprets as the type of threat or risk that the proper response is to gain weight. All these things happen and have happened for you in your case. But the body only lives in the present moment. And when you do a visualization, like if you go back and visualize the traumatic events in your past and actually recreate them so that they're not traumatic anymore, to your body, your body thinks it's happening now. It doesn't understand that, oh, that's just something that happened a while back. Your body only lives in the present moment. Eckhart Tolle said accurately that the only part of us that always is living in the present moment is our physical body. So our physical body only lives in the present moment. It only understands, it only translates threats into a physical threat right now. And when you go back and recreate your past so that the traumatic experiences in your life are not traumatic anymore, that affects your body right now. Your body thinks there's no longer a threat. You're not at risk. These things didn't happen or aren't happening to you. And it can be extremely powerful. And so let me give an example of how you can do that. If you listen to this, if you're in a meditative state, like if you listen to a visualization such as the safe, strong, and protected visualization, it helps when you're in a more of a meditative state. What you would do is this. You go back to some of the traumatic experiences that you recall from your past, like when you were bullied in second grade, and you imagine that you have this column of light around you and this guardian angel around you. And the guardian angel is, you know, if it's just somebody yelling at you, the guardian angel's yelling back and saying, "Don't you talk to me that way. You go away right now." And the person getting real scared and running away. If it's a physical situation where somebody's hitting you or touching you, you imagine the guardian angel just pushing them away and they go flying away and getting scared and running away. You do this kind of like a timeline of all the different things that happen. And what you're doing is you're explaining to your body that you have this protection. You're not all these things that this is how all these things happen. And this is what's happening because it doesn't understand past. So this is all these things are happening now that you have that are no threat to you whatsoever. They're not a threat. And you are not at risk in any way. And you imagine this column of light and guardian angel around you, and you imagine the weight melting off of you and having it. And then you can even imagine that your coming day, all the different things that are going to happen, having this protection around you, being able to speak your will, having strong boundaries, which is something we've talked about in this class already, being able to say no, being comfortable, feeling relaxed and confident because you've got all this protection around you. And that can be extremely, extremely effective. And I would urge you to do this. And you may notice what you may notice, especially if you do the visualization where you're imagining your coming day and you're imagining everyone getting along in a real harmonious way. You you might notice that your days are less stressful. The events, people just seem to get along better. You can also radiate love and light to everyone in your family. Imagine everyone's in a circle radiating love and light to each other, and you'll notice how people get along better, and that things are less stressful. So these are some things that you might want to focus on. I also want to say that I do feel just intuitively that digestion issues, nutrition issues are really, really important for you. Getting more nourishment and healing your digestion are really, really important issues for you. They're as important for you right now. They may not have always been, but right now they're as important for you as any type of emotional issues. Until you do that, you're gonna be in this place where you're tired and weight's not going to want to come off, and you're feeling sluggish and craving the wrong things. So focusing on really adding nutrients and things that heal digestion, green juices, super greens, veggie broths, fermented foods, salads, spirulina, chlorella, just really adding nourishment. I just feel really strongly that's really important for you.
Okay.
Yeah. I would approach it from those two angles right now and really be patient with yourself on this. But I feel like by going in that direction, approaching it in these two angles, you'll be able to turn the corner and you'll get to a place where your body's letting go of weight.
That's great. I really appreciate that. Retreating
sure.
your past technique, I will definitely be working through
yeah.
some of that.
Awesome. Okay. Let's talk soon.
Thank you so much.
Take care. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Cool. Let's talk to Rosie in Brisbane. Rosie, are you there? Is there a Rosie? Hello? Rosie, are you there? Okay. Amir, I think we lost Rosie. Rosie, if you want to, we can talk maybe next week if you want. If you want to try back, we've got a couple of callers and just a couple of minutes left. So, Amir, let's talk to John in Michigan, please.
Hello.
Yeah. John.
Yep. Can you
Hello?
Hear me?
Hi, John.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi, John. Okay. So I have a question about what to do with confusion when you realize that there are multiple triggers
sure.
and traumas that are happening
sure.
and
yeah. yeah,
the big one right now at the moment is basically dealing with a health issue and trying to heal from that and having my doctor, honestly, it feels like an intense pressure to lose as much weight in the fastest amount of time.
Yeah.
And no matter what I do, it seems to never be enough. And it's triggering a strong feeling of not being enough or tons
yeah.
of lack, and I just don't know what to focus
yeah.
on at the moment to help me.
Yeah. Well, let me just say one thing, though, that you might want to consider is that you can choose. It's up to you to choose your doctor, and it's important to choose a doctor that you resonate with and that is helping you. And while he may be helping you and have certainly no question he has your best interest at heart, doctors are not trained in psychology, and they're not trained in subtlety of the mind, body, and how it works. And, you know, they're just sort of like, just do this or else. And that's just not good enough for many, many people. And you may want to consider talking to a different doctor. I recommend looking for doctors that practice what's called functional medicine or integrative
okay.
medicine or holistic medicine. Functional medicine, integrative medicine, or holistic medicine. I would start there and see if you can if you can find someone that you resonate with, because my experience is never works when you've got someone putting pressure on you. Weight always has to come from some sort of inner resolution. You know, when I was real heavy, my dad put a lot of pressure on me. He used to take me to Pritikin. He wanted me to get stomach surgery. None of that stuff ever worked until he gave up, basically, and left me alone. And I had my own space to figure these things out. It does not work for most people to have their doctor mad. I had Atkins used to yell at me. I actually worked with Dr. Atkins for months, and he used to yell at me. And that did not work, especially because I was paying him. You know, like, it just did not work for me at all. So that is an issue. You bring up a really important issue, and that is you want to work with a doctor that understands the whole person, wants you to lose weight in a healthy way, wants to help motivate you in other ways. And that's really important. That's the first place I would go.
Okay. Make sense? Yeah, that makes sense, because all I'm hearing right now is just surgery and to set up a date.
And the thing is, surgery is not foolproof. You know, I have met with mm-hmm. people that have horror stories. And, you know, when we talked about in week two, your digestion is paramount, and you start messing with your digestion, it's just not, you know, it's not the answer. And then if you have the surgery and you're still not having lost the weight, where do you go from there? I've seen real horror stories. So I would love for you to work with someone who wants to look at the whole picture. Interestingly, you know, the largest percentage of referrals that we get at the Gabriel Method are from doctors, integrative physicians. Some really famous New York Times bestselling authors, doctors have recommended even their staff to us. So there are many, many doctors that are very sympathetic to the mind-body connection and the importance of working with the body as a whole and not simply just a surgery. And I would urge you to find someone that you resonate with that has those feelings, and not feel pressured at all to do something that's extreme, that may not work, that causes health complications. And also it sounds to me like his whole approach from a psychological standpoint is not helping you. So you need to be with a doctor that's going to help you. And I think that's the first place where you got to go. I think you got to kind of like stop everything and do a little research, functional medicine, integrative medicine, holistic medicine. Look at those three, look in your area, get some referrals and see if you can find a solution in that regard. And I think that's going to help tremendously.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Start there. And then let's talk again when you have that result.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Cool. Take care. Cool. Let's talk to Pinky in Indonesia. We just have a few minutes left and one more caller. So we've got perfect. Let's talk to Pinky. Hi, Pinky. How are you?
Hi, John. Hi, John. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Yeah. So good. My question is, I'm confused whether I should follow a particular diet like intermittent fasting, or should I eat whenever I'm hungry?
Yeah. So there's a dance to that. And let me ask you a couple of questions to see where you're at so I can help guide you.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
And how much weight are you looking to lose?
20 kilos.
And how long have you had the weight on you?
Since I was 9 years old. It went down to 58 kilos. Again, it went up another 20 kilos. So I want to lose another 20 kilos.
When did you lose the weight? Before, when you said it went down, when was that?
I lost the weight when I was in my 20s, early 20s.
Okay. And then it's kind of crept up since then?
Yes.
Okay. And do you get cravings for starches or carbohydrates or sugars?
Oh, yes, yes,
or
yes.
Junk food?
Yes. Junk food. Lot
Are you
of,
hungry in the morning?
And junk food.
Are you
morning
hungry
I'm
in the
hungry.
Mornings?
Yes, yes.
Your mornings
yes,
you're hungry.
Yes.
All right. So I would not do it. I would wait on the intermittent fasting for a short time because if you're hungry in the morning and you're having junk food cravings, if you try to do intermittent fasting where you're not hungry in the where you're not eating in the morning, you tend to create too much of a diet mentality where you eat too much in the afternoons and everything kind of goes wonky. So I would focus on adding really, really nutritious foods right now. I think that's very important for you, and doing some of the stress reduction stuff we talked about in this class. If you gained weight since you were 9, there could be some emotional issues. So I would focus on the emotional issues. And then when you're eating, make sure you're eating lots of vegetables, lots of salads, finding some tasty alternatives when you can to typical carbohydrates like cauliflower mash or zucchini spirals for pastas, cakes made without grains and sugars. Just look for those. Don't make it a diet. Don't force yourself not to eat the other things. But focus on nourishing your body right now and listening to the Safe, Strong, and Protected visualization to help work through some emotional issues. That's where I would start.
Okay.
There may come a time where something like intermittent fasting helps you, but for now, this is where I would focus.
Okay. And how many visualizations in a day are we supposed to do?
The morning one, we just introduced an afternoon one, which I think would be really good for you. And then the evening one is you going to sleep at night. So, yeah. So first thing in the morning, sometime in the afternoon.
And evening.
So that's three visualizations. That's three visualizations. One first thing in the morning.
One in the afternoon.
And one is your, the Safe, Strong, and Protected one would be great for you this week. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Take care, Mickey.
Thank you.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. So, and thanks for all of your great questions and comments. And, we will be back next. It's going to be Monday night for people in the U.S., Tuesday morning for people in Australia and New Zealand. And we are going to be talking about the right way and the wrong way to do exercise, not as a calorie-burning tool, but also as a way to get your body to actually want to be thin. Because that's the whole thing we're focusing on, is getting your body to want to be thin by addressing the chronic low-grade stresses that can be tricking your body into thinking you need weight. And then also then adding certain acute stresses that make your body want to be thin, which we're going to talk about next week, the right way and the wrong way to do exercise. And again, if you do it right, you can do it just a couple of minutes, a couple of times a week, and it's going to give you all the benefit that you need. So that's next week. In the meantime, have an awesome weekend, everybody, and we'll speak to you real soon. Take care.
Thanks for joining me on this Ask John call-in day. For any questions I was unable to get to in this call, I'll post my written responses in the forum for your reference. I appreciate you taking time to join me here, and I look forward to connecting again with you soon.